Yes. Yeah, I called it a social media cafe in the original blog post. When I went out and talked to people about it, and I spoke at a bar camp or a couple of own conferences about it, just to talk the idea through. And of course, what some people said was, so what kind of people are you hoping to bring there? What kind of, why should I come to this thing? What kinds of people? And I said, half jokingly, I think it would be people like, I think it would be friends of Harry Tuttle. And I'd seen the movie Brazil in 1985 when it was on general release, and I'd been struck by this character.
Which one?
I
don't remember. Which one is Harry Tuttle?
Is De Niro's. De Niro plays a.
I don't remember De Niro being in it. Okay.
So De Niro plays this.
You sure not think of Taxi Driver?
No. No, it's definitely not.
It's very seconds, like milliseconds.
No, it's not the Travis Club, it's the Tuttle Club. It is. He plays this. It's a cameo role, but it's a. He's a. A freelance heating engineer, and in this world, that's not allowed. All the heating engineering goes on through the central services. So he's the guy who intercepts calls for help, goes in, sorts things out, bodges a bit, doesn't necessarily fix things, but bypasses them, doesn't do the paperwork, but helps people out. And I was attracted to that as an idea, and I thought it would be nice to give it that vibe. And I'd held on to this kind of little stereotype for a while as a kind of one of those bookmarks you have. So I just said, yeah, they'd be friends of Harry Tuttle, and laughed about it, and then people started calling it the Tuttle Club. And some people got very vexed about whether it was called the Social Media Cafe or the Tuttle Club, and told me that I had to sort it out, I had to decide. And I said, no, I'm not going to decide, you're going to decide. The network will decide what this thing is called. I don't care what it's called, I care that you keep coming. So eventually it became that. And as Twitter became a stronger and stronger part of our infrastructure, of course it just, that's how it really spread. The name, and then it's just become that. Hash Tuttle is what it gets referred to now. I don't think people even worry about it being the club. I mean, it's Hash Tuttle.
Am I mistaken in thinking, because I thought I read, that this eventually became a resource for businesses looking for help?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
Good.
Oh, yes.
Just for my narrative purpose.
Yes. So we then, one of the things that we were looking at, and this is something Brian helped with enormously. Brian didn't help with it enormously. Brian worked with me on it enormously. It was obvious as we got a fairly steady crew of people that one of the things we could do with this was make use of the knowledge that was in the network and sell that capacity to people who needed help. But I didn't want to. I mean, I've been working as a consultant on the social web for a while, and Brian's worked as a consultant. There are other people who are well versed in consulting methods, but we didn't want to impose a process on the group. I wanted it to grow out of the way that we do things. The word I was using a lot was congruent. I wanted something that was congruent with the vibe of the meetups. And so it needed to have some emergent properties. It needed to use emergence as part of the process. It needed to be loose and improvised and a bit ad hoc. But what I struggled with was, and what I always struggle with is how to minimise structure. How to get away, how little structure you can get away with and still get something useful and interesting done. And
why do you want to minimise structure? Why is that including itself?
I think it's about providing a framework for being creative, but not constraining that creativity too much. I used to work in government. I used to work in large bureaucracy, very unthinking bureaucracy, and I rebelled against that. To a large extent, I think.
Where were you?
I was at the Audit Commission.
The Audit
Commission? Audit Commission, yeah.
Am I right to assume this is a tax audit?
They are the people who run audit of public bodies, the local municipal councils, and at that time, the National Health Service. So, but it was across the board. It was financial audit and value for money. So there were mostly the stuff I was involved with was research into what good public spending looks like, how you spend public money well.
Any other reasons to? I'm fine with that as the answer to why I did my structure.
Okay. Thank you. I'm getting there.
You wanted something that is congruent.
Yes. And a guy called Al Robertson came up with this idea. Well, Brian and Al and I were talking about it a lot. We just kept talking about it. About this idea of creating a consulting offer.
So the issue is how do you retain the essential idea of Tuple, which is that it's an open, free flow of knowledge and information between people on a informal, almost random basis, but which over time becomes richer as people, because it's always at 10 to 12 on Fridays.
Yeah.
There's a constant availability of people to talk to, but how do you and nobody pays to come, and the idea is you don't pitch. People who pitch don't tend to stick around and have a good time. How could you turn the expertise that comes to these meetings into a way of somehow people getting paid for doing projects that emerge from the conversations that happen in Tuple? How can you do that without distorting the fundamental model that's attractive to people and that's why they come there? And that's the bit, that's the bit that we wrestled with for quite a long time.
Yeah. What we were seeing was lots of people getting together in small collaborations and doing little bits of work together. People who were coming from different ends of industries and meeting there and doing something that they wouldn't ordinarily have done at all, but because they happened to meet and talk in that free way, they were able to do new stuff. And I wanted to harness that. I also wanted to be able to take this thing which felt very valuable to me, and everybody I spoke to saw the value in in the conversations that happened there. So I had people coming from large organisations and saying, "Wow, this is amazing! I wish we could do this kind of stuff. I wish I could come more often." And so what clicked for me was, well, why don't we take it? Why don't we take it out? Why don't we take it to you instead of insist, you know, you bringing 10 people here, why don't we bring 10 people to you? And the model that we came up with, which Al articulated, because he's a marketing guy, as crowds, tribes, and teams, was to have a kind of filtering in terms of the number of people who are involved, and to have that filtering thing, which also brought focus to the competition around a particular theme. And so we came up with a fairly arbitrary and loose method, which was that we would take a group of people into an organisation, meet with them and have a high-level conversation about the brief, match the number of people we brought in with people from the client, and see what happened. And then we would narrow it down and take a smaller number of people in, continue the conversation, but with a focus on creating some pieces of work, some projects to do. And then we could create teams out of the network again that would carry that work out, if that were required. And that was it. That was the one pager, basically. And we started talking to people about how that might be applied. And one of the people we spoke to was a lady called Catherine Fieschi. And she runs Counterpoint, which is the internal think tank at the British Council.
The internal
think tank. It's a think tank.
At the British Council? The
British Council. No, the British Council is responsible for facilitating good cultural relations globally between Britain and the rest of the world.
So it's like the CIA.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I've never heard it like that, but yeah.
It gets a lot of its money from the Foreign and Commonwealth Office. The nice way of saying it is that they help people talk to each other so that they get along, so that we don't get into trouble with them. We show them, we give you Shakespeare and all sorts of other cultural artifacts, and they are also responsible for a lot of English teaching overseas. That's where they get a lot of their money from.
So, okay.
Yeah. So. They wanted to, they, being Counterpoint, wanted the British Council to think about how they...
Sorry, what's Counterpoint?
Counterpoint is the think tank.
Ah, okay.
So they were our client.
I have trouble hearing this. So, Counterpoint wanted...
Wanted us to help the British Council think about digital engagement. Fulfill its role online, really, rather than as well, and how that might complement what they're doing already. In terms of process, what we did was that was basically the brief. I got them to write a paragraph or so that encapsulated that, but that was it. And then I had already created a mailing list of about 100 people from the network who I knew I could trust to take into a client with me. there were one or two who were on the edge of that group, who, you know, whose trust levels were, you know, not completely well founded, but. Sorry?
Care to name them?
No way. But, with, you know, Tuttle does attract a wide range of people. And some of them are crazy. I mean, we do attract real edge cases. But, you know, a diverse group of people who, with lots of different backgrounds. I mean, we do attract people who are not, you know, what they have in common is that they're interested in the social web. But we have artists and filmmakers and musicians and old school media people and government people and web startup people and corporate people all mixed up. So I had this list of 100 people who I knew were freelance or who had some flexibility around their working lives. And I emailed all of them and said, look, we've got this gig. I need 15 people available on these 2 days. The first 15 people who email me back get to come and play. And how are we doing? Oh, sorry. I got distracted. And I went out for a walk. And when I came back an hour later, I had about 20 to 25 people in my inbox saying, yes, I'd love to do that. One of whom was Brian. And so I had 15 people that I could take in. We went along. We got them to hire a neutral space so that it wasn't in their offices. And asked them to bring 15 people along from their side. And we spent half a day together. And started it by just saying, okay, this is the subject we're going to talk about. I'd like you to just talk, have a conversation, open this idea up, see what you think. And for the people from the British Council, talk to these Tuttle people because about what the social web means to them, because they're using it to make money, have fun, create art. See what it is that interests you in that. But also just open up this question about what is digital engagement, how might it work in your context. Brian, do you want to say something about what that was like as a participant? Because I held back from that. I set it going and then withdrew to allow people to talk.
Yeah, and I think we knew what the structure was. And we knew that of the 14 or so people who went to the first meeting, that the power of selecting who was actually going to do the work was in the client's hands. Which of course turns the consulting model completely untenable, because what normally happens is a consulting partner will go in and will effectively sell in a team, and the power is in the hands of that partner. And, you know, the analogy would be Lloyd recruiting people as the senior partner, even if they're peers, to run a job, and you would run a consulting assignment and we would work to you. But we knew when, I mean, I think I was number 4 to respond to your "would you like to join us?"
I wasn't on the
list. No, you weren't on the list.
No. So that's interesting. But so I was number 4. The only reason I was able to respond so quickly is because I was actually on holiday. I was standing in the corner of a field in Kent, trying to make a phone call. It was a personal phone call to my mother. And my iPhone buzzed, and there was an email from Lloyd saying, if you want to be on this consulting gig, here's the deal. Mm-hmm. Message me straight back, and then we'll see where we go. I mean, the first 14 people, whatever it was, the first 14 people who respond to this message will be on the list of the.
Yeah.
I don't know whether we were a crowd or a tribe at that stage, but probably a
crowd. Yeah, crowd.
I think we were
talking about that as a crowd.
That was a crowd.
Yeah.
So I knew I was going to be one of the crowd, and I knew when I went to the first workshop that the client would decide which 6 people-ish they wanted to work with going forward. So we all knew when we were in the room that actually whether we got through to the next stage, which is what I mean, was entirely in the hands of the client. I thought it was fun. We just had fun really in the meeting.
Yes.
Lloyd facilitated, and there was a loose-ish structure to the meeting.
Yeah.
It was team-based. We were mixed up. We moved around. People documented it how they wanted to document it. So some people made notes. I did a thing on Prezi.
Yeah.
I used this Prezi.com sort of movie-style zooming interface thing to record what I was interested in. We made HD movies of the summaries at the end. They were posted. We basically just, it was a bit of a free-for-all, really.
Yeah.
The client really enjoyed it. Because we had people from different bits of the organisation who had never really talked to one another, and were actually from warring political clans inside the organisation, basically.
Different bits of the
British
Council.
Yes. So, yeah. And although they were all kind of the same, if you like, they're all British Council. They were all in their different kind of boxes, and so we tried to help them kind of break through some of that.
Yeah,
it was great.
As much as you can in an afternoon.
It was really, and they really enjoyed it, and there was a lot of energy in the room when we finished.
Yeah.
And then I thought, I'll be gutted if I don't get to do the next bit. And I think that's an interesting aspect of the thing. I mean, I did get a call from Lloyd saying they would like you to come back, but there was a kind of audition element to it, which I thought, which for me was helpful. I can see for some other people it may not have been helpful to realise that, you know, you're going to be picked or not, but I thought it was good. And also I liked it because it turns the power the other way around. It gives the power to the client to decide.
Yes. So
this project went forward?
So I then called the client the next day and said, which people do you want to come back for another session? And they named four people. Brian, let me think. Brian, Caroline, Steve, Al, Patrick, and me. Yeah, five people plus me.
Yes, I can.
And we went back, and basically, so we went back and had another session, but with five of us and five of them. And this time we're more structured about it and said, look, our goal today is to come up with a shopping list of projects for you to commission if you want to. What are the 10 things you might do in this space that would be cool, interesting, useful, valuable to you? That then became much more of a kind of improvised process around working out what those things might be. You know, people had ideas that they brought and put on the table, and we had small groups recapping conversations that they had. And I just kept dipping in every now and then to see how things were going, and to encourage people to think about different ways of looking.
In 5 minutes, I won't have been here in an hour.
Yes.
Our
schedule is that we have said we'll be at MIT at 11 o'clock.
Oh, okay.
So we have a little while. Okay.
You should be leaving.
Okay.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask you that question.
Okay.
So, actually, what we probably should do is hand, and I'll tell you what to do, just because you're out of time.
Okay.
This is very helpful. The part of the story that I still need, we can probably do through email.
Okay.
Which is, I'm interested in how this becomes finish this particular narrative, did money change hands?
Yeah.
And then for future engagements, sort of. If there are milestones or other things I should know about, or other examples, that's great. This is a pretty good example.
Yeah.
But also, what the current, if I may use the word, what the current structure is, how it works, how many people, what sorts of engagements, you're getting just as if you were an actual business. Right?
Yes.
That's the sort of question.
Yeah.
And then also, if we have had time, I would also want to ask you about the danger of the selection process, which seems like you would favor, it's come off of this, right? They're going to pick people they're comfortable with.
Yes.
Because they're human beings.
Sure.
There's a danger of that. Yep. Whether you're seeing the same people getting picked over and over again because they happen to be the whitest, malest, most gregarious, or the prettiest, whitest, most gregarious.
We don't have enough data yet.
But
yeah, we're aware of that risk, and also the risk that the risk at the earliest stage that the people we get coming into the hopper at the beginning are people who have nothing better to do, aren't currently employed because they have are free because they're not
So it's another question to ask you. The randomness of the first 15 to respond assumes that there are no everybody's qualified and there's no good way to tie it. Sounds wrong to me. They just get the most desperate person who happened to be up first. Whereas that number 16 would have been fantastic if this didn't get on the horn down. So I'm wondering whether you modify that or it's still first come first serve.
I would like to keep playing with it as first come, first serve.
But I think there is a selection of people that you do send out to. It's not every single person who
There's an initial 100 people. So, but within that, there are people who are more desperate and less desperate. There are people who are more.
Or bigger assholes that think they can do anything.
Yeah.
And you don't want a system that inherently favors desperate assholes.
No.
It seems like a bad
But that's what you get with consulting firms anyway, so it can happily be
worse.
Pretty much. Smog assholes.
The good thing for me was that, yes, money did change hands. The overview of that is that we charged a fixed fee for the first two sessions. I took a cut from that and then divided the rest equally between the people who took part. So there were half of the total fee less, I can't remember what I gave myself, 15-20%, was then divided. So people got about 150 quid if they just came and took part in that first one, and then the next one was more like 400. So people like Brian, who went through both stages, ended up being recompensed by about £500-600 altogether for 2.5 days. Of talking, although especially the second one. The second one was a bit more like work, but fun work, improvised fun work. And then we agreed a project fee for the stuff that came out of it, because four projects came out of that, which we then agreed fees for. But again, everybody got paid pretty much the same. It was a division. We didn't kind of think, well, this person's contribution is more.
So can we, by email, I'll either remind you or you can remember.
Please do.
Sort of, here's the, impress me as a business, if you're doing, if you were doing a pitch for this, we've worked with, I want to be able to say, it's worked with the likes of, first match was a great one to start with.
Yeah. No, it's we haven't in terms of actual work. There's no more. There are no other clients at the moment.
Oh, so it's first hand shoulders.
That's our sole engagement.
And the sorts of projects.
We made some films. We made little movies which were kind of box pop thoughts on how the British Council worked for people. We did an investigation into their film archive. They have archive film from the 1930s onwards, which is held by the British Film Institute. We went in and studied that and wrote about it.
We ran some human style conversations.
Yeah.
Both internally and externally, with British Council people, to talk about culture and cultural difference, and have proper conversation. We did that with one of them.
Human scale conversation with British Council and British Council, internally?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And outside, with
external people.
We did a thing called Mining the Archive, which is we looked at the archive film.
Yep. And we did a thing called Jailbreak Days, which were kind of training in using the social web, especially using mobile devices.
So using the devices that you have with you every day, not the people who carry mobile or carry a PDA of some kind, not making them use a special device.
Just helping them to see
what they could do.
The usefulness of blogging and tweeting and making.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much for helping me articulate it again.
I'm sorry, I'm too tired.
Yes, don't worry about it. Do email me to remind me, because we're now on the road.